the first half of this movie, it's presented pretty hard that he is an alien, right?
Yeah.
He can speak to dogs. He can read the cosmos. He can eat a whole banana.
Welcome to the Scene Weekly podcast, where we pirate dive into one movie every week and soon to be TV, possibly, and attempt to find that booty. This week's episode is focused on aliens or mental patients with Kevin Spacey's K-Pax. Never seen it. First time watch for me. But come join Jonathan in Cruise Control for another week of hopefully less plot chatter and copious more film banter. We are Scene Weekly, and welcome to our world, Mr. Steven.
We are on Earth. Yes, we are on planet Earth. In the celestial Milky Way galaxy. I know this. This is common knowledge on my planet.
Those glasses, I don't think you're going to get... If you have notes to read, you're screwed. But you look
yeah,
cool,
pretty much.
I guess. Yeah. So you're blind now, in effect. So how did we get here? Let's talk about K-Pax.
I'll tell you what. This is a movie that has been near and dear to my heart since I saw it in 2001. I don't think I saw it in theaters. This was a Blockbuster rental. But man, oh man, I tell you what, like this is like one of my personal faves. It's not a great movie, but it's a personal fave.
Really?
Oh yeah. Had you ever seen this movie?
I've never seen it. No.
Had you heard about it?
Yeah, I have. I think I saw the trailer and I was like, I got enough.
You're like, I'm good. I'm good on this.
What more can be possibly said? That's what I was thinking. That's, fairly accurate. Faves, interesting. You got loud with that. Excited. You seem to voice your opinions by loudness. can you tell us about the movie, K-Pax?
Yeah, let's get into it. This is a 2001 film. I was in high school at the time of this production. Directed by Ian Softley. Genre is science fiction, psychological drama, based on the 1995 novel K-Pax, maybe stolen from an Argentinian film we can talk about later. But it stars Kevin Spacey and Jeff Bridges, patient, doctor, alien, human. And the box office, the budget was $48 million.
$48 million.
Not many special effects going into this, really.
Just the people, like they're not like a hospital, like they're like nothing. What? That's okay. Go on. Sorry, I'm stunned.
I would assume that a lot of the budget went to the actors.
Two key actors.
Yeah. $65 million worldwide. So it didn't really hit that big. I don't think it really made its money back, but maybe it did in DVD sales. The plot of this movie, I'll go into this briefly. A mysterious man named Proat is admitted to a psychiatric hospital claiming to be an alien from the planet K-Pax. His psychiatrist, Dr. Mark Powell, tries to uncover the truth, torn between Proat's incredible knowledge of astronomy and the possibility that he's a traumatized human named Robert Porter. As Proat helps other patients heal, he insists he will return to K-Pax on a specific date. When he mysteriously becomes catatonic, the film leaves it open-ended. Was he truly an alien or just a broken man escaping his pain?
Aren't we all just broken men trying to escape our pain in some way, shape, or form, Steven?
Yeah, that's exactly what we are all trying to do. That's the human condition.
Sometimes when you have too much pain, maybe you'll end up being assigned four walls around you. Possibly a roof, hopefully.
Hopefully a roof, yeah.
Sometimes in a straight jacket.
But yeah, I mean, Proat shows up kind of out of nowhere in Grand Central Station in your home city of New York. And he just kind of appears out of nowhere, or so we are told by a guy in a wheelchair. And I don't know if this happens often in New York, but somebody gets mugged in a very crowded place.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny that always happens in like, just, I don't know, take virtually any movie that's set in New York. coming to America. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. Somebody's either getting mugged or about to be mugged. And I've never seen a mugging.
Yeah, how many times have you been mugged in New York, Jonathan?
Zero, but I have never seen one either. Actually, is this a mugging? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever told this on the podcast, but it's good. It's really good.
Let's
laugh about it. So the potential mugging, warning, spoiler alert to my own life and, you know, a bit of a flag raise here if you have a violent past. So walking down the street, this was pre-COVID. Yes, pre-COVID, coming home from work. And there was like 15 little boys on bicycles riding down, like shutting down the entire avenue. I think it was 8th Avenue and 9th Avenue, actually. And just rolling, having a good old time. Got music on. And the last boy, fat one. So he's like really bringing in the rear here. He randomly, as I'm standing on the corner, aimlessly looking at the sky probably, and he goes, "Welcome to Slap Cam," pop, and slaps me in the face. And first thought was, I can't hit like a 13-year-old, so that stinks. And if I did, there's like 15 other kids who like, this is a bad situation to be in. So I was like, looks like I'm going to have to take this one. But I have to be on some video of like YouTube channel of like, "Welcome to Slap Cam." Pat.
Oh gosh, I want to see that.
Isn't it so good though? Yeah, I want to find it too. Because like that immediately, it made me mad. I was like, I'm not going to run after that kid. Easily could have caught him, like easily.
But you have 15 other kids that are.
I would have been stabbed or, you know, injured, maimed. But I still laughed to the day. I was like, "That's fantastic!" And
that is fantastic.
If there is a video, we have got to promote that video heavily.
I'm gonna do some sleuthing. This kind of reminds me of
a mugging.
The mugging, yeah. I was mugged once before, not in New York, in Atlanta, pretty violently pistol whipped. But that's another long story. This reminds me of what the internet is going crazy right now. Like you versus 15. Teenage kids. Have you heard about this one silverback gorilla versus 100 men?
Yeah, the people, first of all, silverback gorillas are, there are a few hundred pounds, I think 300 to 400 pounds, up to 500 with males. So like the likelihood, secondly, gorillas are going to get tired because they're made up of the same shit that we are. And so in terms of like cardiovascular, like health, humans are far fitter in the sense of cardio-wise than a gorilla, and in the sense of like lasting longer. Granted, the first 20 dudes are getting it like bad, like are gonna get it like for sure, and it's probably gonna the next 10 to 20 are probably gonna get some form of getting it too, but the next they're gonna absolutely destroy him. It's not going to competition. If it's 20 versus silverback, they're all fucked. They're all gone. They're all eaten up. And but that gorilla is still going to be fucking exhausted. Like, because that gorilla can just rip you from limb from limb. So the first person to go, it's you know, it's you're gone. You're dead.
Yeah, I'd be in the but back anyway, of that group. Definitely.
Yeah, I'm 99, 100. You guys feel free to be adventurous and see what happens with your logical debate here. But 100 grown men are going to take that gorilla no problem. Eventually. It's going to be destruction at the very beginning, but no problem. Especially if you have like 100 Gordon Ryans or like 100 John Jones. Like it's just give them like 20 and they're fucked. John Jones can wrap up that neck and it's over. So
true. Yeah. Anyways, K-Pax.
Aliens. Like I said,
aliens, or are they? That's the biggest debate of this whole movie. It's the open-ended question. Is Prot an alien?
Or so that's my biggest debate in life with you. Are you an alien?
Why is that a debate, Jonathan?
You know, it's something I always go back to, and I think the The earliest iteration of me thinking you might be an alien is you didn't whack off until you were 18 years old. Like there was a required age minimum. Like you had to, you know, learn how to drive first. I think that you had this rationalization that like, you know what, somebody's going to teach me eventually. And then you're like, nobody actually is going to teach me this. I think I have to learn this on my own. That would be probably be step one. So it's like, there's certainly a disconnect between emotion, human nature, and understanding it. It's almost as if you watched like via time travel in advance because the person wouldn't really have been existence in terms of your understanding of them. But like, you watched a Mark Zuckerberg interview prior to like leaping to Earth, and you're just like, that's normal behavior. And this is what I need to do to be a human being. And then you just copied almost like 80% of his behavior outside of changing your attire every single day for a podcast. But like that, in addition to the fact that, you know, you learned Casey at the Bat, for example, and you just continue to like say that randomly. It's it seems like one of those movies, if you saw from far. These people, they really like entertainment. So if you learn a poem, you should talk about it all the time in that poem and give it and recite it at every way possible.
I do recite that poem a lot. I haven't done it on this podcast yet. Maybe one day. Saving that party trick for later.
You're also the type of guy that at like 82 years old, you wouldn't realize your ears had grown by like 2 times. Or your hair is like growing out of your ears. I think I mentioned that to you and you're like, oh, I do have, hair in my ears now? Like it's but you're an alien. There's another example is you move away from South Florida where all your closest friends and your family is, and you're like, I'm going to take a similar job in the opposite end of the spectrum of California from Florida, and I'm going to move away from all of these close people to me where the everything is just brilliant and lovely, and I'm going to move to a place I despise and be completely alone. And that seems like a reasonable attestation to my life. This is a very, it's an alien behavior, right? It's
gotta there's definitely some points to that argument.
And, no, your previous, you had a previous, anyway, I won't go into that one, but I'll leave a couple of these out. I think you're an alien. It's behavior that I don't quite understand. That's all, you know, and to each their own. You're my alien, Steven.
That'd be wild to be an alien and not know it, like, and you find out like later in life.
Do you do like the Will Smith and Men in Black? And so they're like, okay, we got these 10 aliens, and then they zap you down, and then they have like a pre-programmed Mark Zuckerberg interview, and then you're like, that's how I'm basing my understanding of humanity. That's you.
Have you seen, so Mark Zuckerberg has tried to do this like transformation of like cool guy. He wears like, you know, a cool necklace, does his hair a little bit differently.
Bit differently is an understatement. I mean, it's fascinating. Look, I try to take myself out of both aisles and people just say whatever the hell they want to. So I block and mute as much things as possible. Because of MMA, I've seen a lot of him, and like he's training with like, you know, it seems seemingly everybody, but Volkanovski and Israel Adesanya, and a variety of other BJJ guys, and I just I guess I have to see him a lot, and yeah, he has changed drastically. I saw him like, it was wakeboarding. Anyway, it doesn't matter, but yeah,
it's funny because it's like a rebrand. Like I just have to rebrand myself. But whatever.
Good for him. I have nothing good or bad to say about it, but I hope he's happy.
Yeah, I hope he's happy. He's got a lot of money.
I'm glad he's into BJJ because he legitimately, if you actually watch him, he knows what he's doing.
Really?
Yeah, no lie. Not only on BJJ, but on stand-up wise, he actually knows what he's doing. So much so that I looked it up because he was the people he was training with I follow. And then I was like, I think, is this AI? Is this like he's, this isn't actually him, but it was actually him. So honestly, he looks good, like very good.
Well, he's got the money to get the right teachers and the right coaches.
It's effort. No, it's effort.
It's effort. Okay.
This game does not, it's not about money. It's about effort. You can have all the, like, you can have all the teachers telling you what to do. And if you don't, you're not doing those things, you're just never going to get good. BJJ entirely and stand up entirely is about effort and actually putting in the work. Just as marathon training.
Yeah.
Cutting through the cheese.
I really thought I liked Strava, but the fact that, like, you know, you used to run in private, you know, and train in private. And now people can just be like, oh, he hasn't ran in 3 weeks. What's he doing?
I stopped updating my own Strava entirely. It's just a pain in my ass. It does it automatically, but then, like, it tells you, this is like my crazy brain. I don't like people to know what time I'm leaving my house. Even if it's later, then they could put together like an algorithm. And he's like, oh, he's probably not home at this moment. I'm going to go steal all his goods. And so, like, I don't want that to happen. That's why I don't actually automatically update Strava for that entire reason, actually.
That could be a cool movie. Somebody going out to run, and then you have like these the wet bandits coming in to get in the house.
Home Alone Part 6. No, anyway, I don't think there's got to be other people that feel this way. But anyway, Runna sucked. I mean, it provides like guidance to like the average person. And that's, I guess, okay. But like, even then, like the guidance it provides, it's like, I guess if it gets people out the door, that's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, aliens. Do you think K-Pax or Prot is an alien?
So I tried to watch this movie a different way this time. And because you can watch it two ways in two different lenses. The lens that I watched this time was I wanted to see him as a crazy person, as a mental patient that is dealing with past trauma.
Sure.
And you can view it that way. But at the end of the day, I want to believe that he's an alien. I want him to be from K-Pax.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he's just not crazy enough, I guess. He's not crazy enough for me to think he's crazy. I understand as well the ending, just like leaving it up for interpretation, but it also like makes me infuriated. Like, I get what they're doing, but it just infuriates me. I'm just still angry about it, but not even angry enough to care much, because I think the movie sucked. I think it's a terrible movie overall. I think they wasted $48 million on two outstanding actors. But I have to ask you, do you think this is Jeff Bridges' best work?
No, I go to like the Big Lebowski for that.
What about Kevin Spacey? Do you think it was his like a top tier performance?
I wouldn't even put Kevin Spacey on this like top tier performance. I enjoyed it. I thought he definitely hammed it up a little bit with his hypnosis regression back to a child.
So this is where I wanted to get to, actually, because I don't know if that was good acting. When I was watching it, I was like, this is really kind of weird. And also, I guess maybe in somewhat of a light of recent events, I was like, I don't know if this is good acting. I would ask you to act like a child, but I just don't think this is going to work well for either of us. And also, I don't think I really want this on the internet, to be honest with you. But like, I don't know if it's good acting. I honestly don't know. And I'd have to, and if I can't really say that it's undefinable, I think it's maybe just like average. Anyway, a lot of people love this movie and a lot of people have rave reviews, and it was very hard to find even a single bad review of this movie. Why?
I think because people like to have this philosophical debate in their mind or with other people of, is Prot an alien? Do we want to believe that? Can you have that leap of faith in this world of you know, trauma and mental patients and all of these things? It kind of opens up that question in people's minds. And I think that's why people, especially me, like this movie, because I like to see that conversation between Jeff Bridges and Kevin Spacey of like, I don't believe you at all, but I'm asking you these, you know, really direct questions. And I'm just, he's saying it matter of factly. Well, of course you don't know my constellation. It's not been discovered yet, but everything that I can point to the astrologers in here, like, I'm saying it accurately. And that just, it leads to more questions.
Do you think the doctor was completely irresponsible?
Like Dr. Powell, Jeff Bridges?
Yeah, he just focusing on one dude. What about his hundreds of others? Like, he was, did they all just go insane? Like, what happened to them?
Prot was on a mission to take care of all of them.
Was he? They just made him crazier.
The bluebird.
I love bluebirds, by the way. I saw a bluebird about 2 weeks before watching this movie. It reminded me of that time. So fleeting. Come and gone. Right on the apple tree. We have two apple trees, by the way. And speaking of apples, what's your favorite apple? They had a nice apple shot at the beginning of this flick.
Yeah, apples are great. If I go green, it's going to be Granny Smith. But I like Fuji. Fuji's my jam.
Fuji. Starchy. You like the starch. Yeah. All in your mouth. Starch. I like the honey crisp. Give me that.
Honey crisp
are
good.
And the crisp. This week's episode is sponsored by Soul Roots Running Company, where you can find the best covers for your feet that make you travel comfortably and quickly across sidewalks like Shel Silverstein. Soul Roots offers all varieties of running shoes, clothes, and accessories. And for 10% off, please use the code SCENE, S-C-E-N-E, at checkout. And any order over $180 is free to ship anywhere in the continental United States. Head over to shop.soulrootsracing.com and fill up your cart for 10% off with the code SCENE. I have to say, I think, it's a poor man's sixth sense to some extent, or maybe like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest would have been terrific if you just like get rid of the entire Capex movie and made it an alien Jack Nicholson. And that would have been excellent, I think. But overall, I will have to say, how do you say her name? Alfre Woodard? She is stunning. Like, my God. Like, I don't know. There's a huge, we're talking a 20-year difference, 20-plus year difference between now and then. And it was just like, she's probably gained a little weight and just like identical.
Like she looks
aged,
great.
Aged not, crazily. Yeah. Like whatever.
Aged not
whatever.
At all, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, that's wild. I don't know how old she is or how old she was then, but in 20 years, it just seems like didn't age at all. I will say, I don't know what it is, but Kevin Spacey, not only in the children's hypnotist section and him just having that creepy smile throughout, it kind of reminded me of his role in Seven. This is like, is he going to be a serial killer here in a second? I know the premise behind the movie, but I was like, this would be awesome if this turned. And like, he starts going nuts, The doctor dies first, and then he turns on all the mental patients, and then he creates this orchestration of like he becomes like this new death cult, and they are released on the streets, and it becomes Gotham. This is what I want to see, really.
Then this is a Batman movie. Okay.
Well, yeah, I'd rather watch Batman.
Yeah. There was that moment where the doctor again. I think he crossed the lines of bringing a patient to his backyard barbecue, but there was that moment where Prot, kind of loses it when the sprinklers go off and you think, is he going to hurt somebody?
Yeah.
And then they turn the sprinklers off and he's like, do I smell apple pie?
It's weird that again, he's alien. Like he just doesn't act like any of us basically. And I will say it's interesting that, at 59 minutes and 20 seconds, I wrote this down. Kevin Spacey, Mr. Prot, has a Indian like head wag, which he does it throughout the movie. And I'm just thinking, is that what Kevin Spacey thought like of aliens? They're just like, because I guess maybe the it's either Chinese or Indian for the majority of Earth, and so he's just using a head wag. Maybe that's his way to connect. And I don't even know if he realized he was doing it. But it was interesting to me and noticeable enough that I'm mentioning it here. But with that being said, speaking of close to, it's not even close. He could have used a trip to Turkey, Mr. Kevin Spacey, before this movie. He's like so balding, it's ridiculous. Like it's just so noticeable. I think he would do better with a full head of hair.
Well, I think in all of his other movies, he's got some kind of like wig or something like that. This was like one of the movies besides Seven, I guess Seven, he's like got a shaved head pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, his male pattern baldness is a main character here for sure. Did you know that those sunglasses that he had were Bono's from U2?
No.
Bono, yeah.
They look like him.
Bono's like, as long as you take good care of them and I get them back, you can use them for the movie.
I'm so sorry. Outside of the first album of U2, I think U2 is like one of the worst bands of all time.
No, don't be sorry. I shouldn't say worst.
I just think if I'm sitting down paralyzed in my wheelchair, I will miraculously get up and turn the music off. I would rather listen to nothing than I would to listen to U2. Except their first album.
Do you remember when I think it was Apple like just put a U2 album on everybody's phones without their permission? Just like, here.
Yeah. And that's how there was this guy who basically reviewed, it was like their album maybe 10, 12, 15 years ago. He had a review of the entire album, but he's basically like shitting on all of the tracks. And it's just constant shit. I'll have to find this and send it to you, but it was absolutely fantastic. Just every, like, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. But anyway, not a big fan. Maybe that's why I don't like this movie. And, you know, when it comes down to it, I just think Jeff Bridges and Kevin Spacey are two terrific actors. And it seems like a lot of people really enjoyed the movie, and I just didn't. I think, you know, I would actively turn it off. This would be a Pixels for me. I'd get up and turn it off.
Did you enjoy the music?
No, I didn't really enjoy anything about... What did I enjoy? I enjoyed laughing at his immaturity through the hypnosis. I was like, what's going on, man? I don't know. I still don't know how to react to that. I don't think it was such a deep story and meaningful story that I got sucked into the debate of whether or not he was an alien or a mental patient enough. I could see that being the case. And I think it just wasn't so engaging for me that I even wanted to have that debate. So I couldn't even go hooked on that. It nothing hinged upon it. So yeah, I'll never watch this movie again. And I mean that sincerely.
That's okay. Have you ever seen the movie Phenomenon? This kind of reminds me of that movie a little bit.
I have. That's another one that I can't even barely remember it. Phenomenon, Multiplicity, and like K-Pax, I would put all in together of like movies I just don't think I'll ever watch again. Yeah.
It's okay. Idea of this movie was, for me, was wanting to know, you know, your side of the debate on do you feel like he falls into the alien or the mental patient? And if you weren't hooked on this movie to begin with, and it doesn't really resonate with you, then I can't make you have strong feelings on one way or the other.
But you love it.
I do. Yeah.
Why do you love it? Do you think it's engaging?
Yeah, I think I like the idea of what it means to, it's a matter of like belief, right? When everything is presented to you, the first half of this movie, it's presented pretty hard that he is an alien, right?
Yeah.
He can speak to dogs. He can read the cosmos. He can eat a whole banana. He did that scene 27 times, by the way. And I can attest, I've tried it before. It's not fun.
It's hard.
I've eaten a whole banana. I did this just because
it's all fiber.
It's all fiber. Makes you shit.
It's actually really good for you.
Really?
Yeah.
But yeah, the first half of this movie is presenting to you where you're like, yeah, of course, like this is a movie where he's an alien. And then the second half, when he goes into that regression hypnosis and you find all these things about his past and Robert Porter, like, is it a trauma? Are we being now swayed in the other direction? So I like how the movie presents this as like very hard hitting at first of like, yes, he's an alien. And then it counters that weight and it has this balance. And I think it does it really well with like, and that's the debate on the internet too with this, is like, some people really believe that he is an alien and some people strongly believe that he's a wacko. Sorry to any mental patient, whatever. He's in the loony bin.
Nobody's watching. So it's interesting. To me, it's that late 90s, early 2000s movies where, like, I guess if you were to take 10 Things I Hate About You, even in the 80 minutes or whatever it is, I don't even know. But like, even if you were to take that movie, it's surface level and fairly simple and straightforward, love interest and fighting back and forth. But I was more engaged in that, you know? Whereas this, I just don't. It's too surface level and too simple, and I'm not engaged. And I frankly, if the whole movie is just surrounding, is he a mental patient or is he an alien? I didn't care. It's like, okay. Like either way, like if you have the debate, he could be both. That's great. And then you can have the debate. And then, but like, what is the movie actually doing? It's just like, there's no real substance there. It's not, there's nothing, no real discussion actually happening. It's asking one single question and then it's moving along. There's no like substance, but I was hoping you'd open up about Jeff Bridges and troll, take my troll a little better than that. But Jeff Bridges did as best as he possibly could, as did Kevin Spacey, little overboard, but I don't know.
Were you asking that question rhetorically? Like this is definitely not their best performance.
No, clearly. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, I will admit that this is a bad movie. If you will admit that this is a great movie.
No, you don't have to admit anything, but you're wrong. Cause I would never admit to you. It's a great movie.
I can see.
What is the greatest thing about this movie? The greatest thing is the fact that they got two top tier actors.
It was originally going to be Will Smith as Prote and Kevin Spacey as the doctor, but then Will Smith dropped off.
What was the original? When did the original Men in Black come out?
1996.
That was 96.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like that would end up being like kind of like. I don't know how that would work. I don't know. I just don't think this works. Maybe I should read the book.
I think Will Smith did The Legend of Bagger Vance instead, which is another kind of. I think he was going into his like, I want to be in dramas and serious actor mode rather than just like action comedy films.
Yeah.
So,
interesting. What would you be? Interesting pick. Do you think? If you're an actor.
Well, I would start off as improv, go that path, and then maybe get into some background, you know, acting. And then I think I'd like to be like a stunt actor. Like I'd like to do stunts.
In the porn industry, like a stunt cock. There's no age minimum.
I'm staying in Hollywood. I'm not going to the Valley.
So then you'd be perfect.
You know, maybe.
I hear that that the movie scene is it's moving like abroad, allegedly.
Oh, yeah, Hollywood is
tax purposes. Yeah.
Tax purposes. Yeah. It's not great. That's why a lot of productions are in like Atlanta, Ireland,
England.
Yeah, there's a lot bigger tax incentives than the law of the land in California, which I think they need to change. But we'll see.
Yeah, it seems like nothing is being shot anymore. I'm just repeating what other people said, primarily Ben Affleck, but I have no frank opinion about this. But nonetheless, it looks the same, but feels the same and acts the same. I would actually prefer. Like, you know, modern, like, I don't know, there's movies that are set in particular areas and you're like, that's LA. You can't pretend, you can't tell me that's Atlanta. Those skies are way too blue. That's, look at all those palm trees. That's fucking LA as it gets. And speaking of, I will be with you next month. Please and thank
Coming
you.
Coming up. Yeah. In about a month from now. Right.
But anyway, I mean, it's, I don't know what else to say, but when did you find out that K-Pax or Prote was your dad?
I'm still waiting for him to take me to the planet of K-Pax. Sex does not sound very good on K-Pax. You hear what he said about that?
Why is it so difficult? And why I wanted that explained. Why is it so difficult?
He says like your balls are in a vice grip. Like I don't think people would be wanting to procreate that much.
Yeah, but if you're dependent in understanding of your own mortality and dependent on that moving forward and your whole race. Wouldn't you try to make sex like it's so counter to the idea that, or maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just misunderstanding the alien behavior. I mean, I like this discussion way more than I like the discussion at the very end of like the debate. Like, why is sex bad and terrible and difficult? Just doesn't make any sense. Seems like you'd make it the greatest thing ever so that your race can continue.
That's what we did.
Anyway, Well, we didn't do anything. It just happened. I want to relate to you the one review that I had to scrub the internet for, basically, to find it. I don't know. I thought it was going to be very easy to find an actual bad review, but it, even this is just like, can't really say too much about it. A lot of good reviews. People loved Kevin Spacey in that one moment of Hypnosis. Unknown users at The Guardian. That's what it said, probably from a long time ago, got deleted. What a terrible waste of the 2 stars this film is. Stars meaning not the stars, but the stars as in Jeff Bridges and Kevin Spacey. Tries to have it all ways regarding the true nature of the so-called alien. Plus, the psychiatrist character is equally unbelievable. Give it a miss. I've never heard someone say that. Give it a miss.
Interesting.
Like, it's a weird way to say, don't watch this movie. So give it a try, but like, give it a miss. I've never heard anyone say that.
Like, are you swinging at it and you just miss it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's so like you're trying to not watch it?
Maybe.
Does that mean you're
just
trying?
Avoiding it at all costs.
Give it a miss. I don't know what, I don't know. Maybe this is Mr. What's his name?
See, I had a review that I kind of scoured the internet too for a bad review because I thought maybe you'll find something. I do want to read this one because this is kind of what I thought you might be looking at. K-Pax is the single most idiotic movie I have ever seen. A friend of mine loves this movie and gave me $5 to rent it. I would pay him $1 million if I could wipe the memory from it of my mind.
That seems aggressive.
I think my buddy deserves to be in a mental institution after watching this movie. Pure torture. That's a little
$1 million, pure torture. I don't think it was that far, but there's certainly parts of the movie where I was just like, do I have to finish this? I always finish the movie. I mean, I can't even think if I've ever not finished a movie, but like books, if I'm done with the book, I'm like, this, I'm done. I can put it down and I'm not that type of person that has to finish it. But like with movies, I was like, do I have to finish this really? Like, does this keep going? Like, why can't we just end it here? Like, I want to choose my own adventure, you know? Yeah. Like, I would like this to end. And then it's like, that would be lovely if in a movie you didn't like it and you're like, I want this to change. And you've got 10 minutes to change it and wrap it up. And so they have to wrap up the whole story and dialogue. Originally, it was just consolidated into...
like a Cliff Notes version?
Yeah. but immediately gets AI'd. And you can just watch that regurgitation, that vomit. Anyway, somebody please make that. I've got lots of ideas for apps.
Hey, but anyway, you mentioned we might be getting into TV at some point. What shows have you been watching that kind of pique your interest?
I cannot watch that Black Mirror with Paul Giamatti with you because it's just going to be me shitting on it all day.
I watched Hotel Reverie last night. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so I've seen them all, the whole season of Black Mirror, and that's the only TV I've seen recently. But from the get-go, boy, just bangers until that episode, which I really despised, but real good. They need to kind of, I think, take an expiry date on the USS
Callister.
I'm just kind of like, okay, all right, I get it. Like it's a continue. Yeah, I get it. It's cool. But the first episode, I was like, wow, and then the next two, I was like, wow, like okay, this season is like back to its roots, back to fire. If you remember, like the pig fucker in England, just like how what a way to start off a TV show. I think season 3 was when they got way off topic of like what they were trying to do, kind of drain the resources. I think season 4 was bad, and then season 5 was terrific again. Season 6, I might be wrong on season 4. Whatever the one where that dog was running around was still a good season, but the robot dog. Anyway, I don't know what we're going to do. I love The Office. Would love to do that, but that would take like 17 years to get through.
Just sometimes pick your favorite episode.
Yeah,
it just discuss
takes
it.
Too long. I can't do a favorite. It's just impossible. But anyway, eventually maybe we'll get into some TV. But for now, I think we'll stick to the movies. What's your rating, my friend?
Yeah, I love this movie. Like I said, I know it's not perfect, but I'm glad I got you to watch it. In all seriousness, you know, the performances like you said, two great actors. The questions are great to me. The open-endedness of it. I think it does get a little schmaltzy at times, but that's like, you know, early 2000s, you know, camp. But I'm giving it four glasses. It's one of my faves.
Well, I don't know what to do with this. I just think it's a bad movie that I just never want to watch again.
You think it's mediocre? Like, or just bad?
I think it's, no, it's, I'm, I think it's what's worse than being uninterested in a movie is one of the worst things I think you could have. You can have a reaction to something such as The Greasy Strangler. You ever seen that? Did you ever finish that?
No, you like sent the, me the, you the sent Holy, me the trailer.
Or The Holy Mountain. I sat through The Greasy Strangler, the whole thing, which is a challenge. Like, if you can make it all the way through that movie, you're a real one.
I
can sit through movies like that and have the debate point of like, do I need to turn this off? What is happening right now? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you guys? What's wrong with this whole situation? There's more of a philosophical debate I could have with that movie. Is that a good movie? I don't know. I don't know. It's a mind fuck of a movie. But nonetheless, this is not that. There's no point that really gets deep for me. So it's a two glasses movie. I don't see it. It's not great. It's not even good. It's way below average, and they should have used $48 million to not have Mr. Pro even come to Earth to begin with.
Stay on K-Pax.
Yeah.
There you go.
But anyway, I'm glad. Are you an alien?
I think we're gonna leave that open ended. I think it needs to linger.
Are you a patient?
See, there you go. That's open ended again.
Is it cold in LA right now?
No, it's nice. This is just my go to work jacket. So I got to, after this. Going to work.
It's always 9:45 or whatever that is. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, until next time, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoy a terrible review of a terrible movie.